You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
I just want to introduce myself again. Hi, guys. Hello, hello. My name's Bemi, and I am one of the sophomore girls' leaders. And just shout out to you guys. Love you guys so much. It's been a joy to co-lead with Roxanne, and just a privilege and honor to be here with you guys at HSM every Wednesday. This whole month, or in the last week, pretty crazy, but February has been awesome, and really we've been talking all things relationships. First week, we heard Gavin and Claire talk to us about 6 tips on how to date God's way, which was amazing. Then last week, we heard Anna give us a word on friendship, and how to be better friends, how to navigate conflict God's way as well. And today, we're talking all about family relationships. So we are finishing up our Better Now relationship series. So I just want to jump in, but before we do that, let's pray, and then we'll start. Jesus, thank you so much for the gift of family and relationships, God. We thank you that you made us to be beings that are meant to be in community. I just pray right now for all of our hearts to be open to you, to receive what you alone have for us. We love you so much. We praise you, and it's all in your name. Amen. So, guys, I can come up here and share a lot on what we should do, what we shouldn't do in family relationships. I've made my own share of mistakes. But honestly, I felt like when I was preparing for this sermon that the Lord wanted us to dig deeper on how it all starts within our own hearts, how we have to get real and honest about the condition of our hearts with Jesus, because it directly correlates to every single relationship that we have, including our family. So before we jump in about talking about all the things family relationships, maybe we just can think for a second, why do we think God cares so much about our family relationships? Just want you guys to take a few seconds to jot some things down on your notes, and then we'll get started again. So take a second, just think about, why does God care about my family relationships? Cool, cool. So when I was thinking about this and sitting with the Lord, I was really thinking about a few things. The Lord cares so much about family relationships because family should move as a vehicle that reflects the kingdom of God. You see, by being a united front under the lordship of Jesus, we give God glory by modeling his love to others through unconditional love and care for families. Care for the members of our family, friends, and others. Now take a second and think, does it seem like that for your family? Whether you are in hardship or bliss when it comes to family relationships, God desires to bring his presence to your heart when it comes to the topic of family. Your family, whether you notice it or not, has great influence on not just you and other and your other family members, but also many others around you. So I have a question again. Is there a family in your life that has blessed you immensely that you've seen the Lord's love in? My examples are the Perez family, Roxanne and Ben. They've blessed me immensely in my life. The Holmstrom family and my husband's family before we got married, the Potts and the Jones. Some words I would describe them is extremely loving, caring, and hospitable. I believe God really cares about how we move within our family relationships because oftentimes family are some of the first meaningful relationships we make before friends and before significant others. Family has direct implications on who we are and who we become because they're oftentimes the closest to us. I think that's why there's often tension on, a tension point when it comes to talking about family. It could be pretty sensitive because we can't just leave them. If you're in a friendship or relationship, you're like, peace out, this ain't working out, I gotta go. But if you're family, you're locked in. You ain't going nowhere. We have to actively focus on family because God chose us to be within it and a part of it. So, this is my family. A silly picture. The squad. We have a mix of all of us up here. This was a really super sweet time. And then I have another picture at my husband and I's wedding here in August of last year. It's kind of crazy. I just want to share a little bit about my family story with you guys, because if we're talking about family, I'm sharing about all the things, I gotta keep it real. Growing up, my family consisted of my parents, older sister, older brother, and myself. I was the youngest. Shout out to all the babies in the fam. Woo woo. Yeah, you know it, you know. My family had a complicated history and backstory. Overall, we had great times in my childhood, not so great times due to my parents going through a divorce. But my mom remarried and I received 4 new step siblings, which is crazy. I started off as the youngest and then I jumped into this really odd middle child. And when I look at the members of my family and extended family, most of us, through some means, have blended family. I have every type of sibling you can think of, guys. I got 1 full blood sibling, half siblings that I know, some I don't know. Step siblings, all the things. And throughout high school, where I was years ago, sitting in the same seat that you're in, all the way through college, I had to navigate blended family dynamics, which became pretty normal to me, but also extremely hard. I oftentimes felt pretty lonely, confused, angry, because I didn't understand how to move within them and how to really win at them. There were lots of arguments, yelling, tears, and bitterness. But today, my family relationships are still growing and changing, but the key difference was my willingness to surrender my heart and my family relationships into God's hands. You see, to believe the Lord, I had to believe him more for within the frustrations within my own family, to have faith that he wasn't done yet with my family, that he wanted to move in my heart so I can see his plan for it. So here is what God spoke to me on family for today. 1, your heart posture towards your family matters. Am I being prideful or humble? 2, am I willing to be a peacemaker and be set apart within my family? 3, when conflict comes, am I willing to long suffer and believe in God's redemptive plan for my family? And 4, am I leaning on the local church, AKA our heavenly family, for support? So our first villain is your heart posture matters. I felt a nudge from the Holy Spirit to speak on the importance of the heart and our heart posture when it comes to talking about relationships in our family. First verse we're going to talk through is Mark 7:21. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. And then Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things beyond cure. Who can understand it? So we can see from Old Testament to New Testament, God is telling us that the heart, the human heart, is naturally deceitful. So the heart really is the basis of how we live and how we move in this life. Every action we make is due to how our current heart posture is. The verses above show us that it doesn't come easy for us humans to move in a selfless posture. And if you look at the list, it all points to a heart full of self and not the opposite. How can I please every single desire in my own heart versus an emotion versus how can I please the Lord and serve others? So I have just some questions for you guys. What is your current heart posture towards your family right now? You can be 110% honest. Are you moving in selflessness or pride? Or are you moving in humility and serving your family? Are you quick to listen and slow to talk back? I know in high school it could be hard. Y'all be talking back to parents. Mom, I don't want to do this. Dad. X, Y, and Z. In arguments, are you first to apologize or hold a grudge? Do you have bitterness or hatred due to something that happened in the past that you haven't moved to forgiveness in? Would they be able to see you faithfully following Jesus through the actions you're currently taking? Take a moment right now and ask Jesus, not what you want your heart posture to be, but what it truly is in this moment. Jesus, where is my heart when it comes to my family? The cool thing is that we get to ask him, search me and know my heart, Jesus, for I want your way when it comes to loving and serving my family so that they can see me, see more of you through me. And if you haven't given your full heart to Jesus, you are so loved, valued, and seen by him. I want you to know that Jesus can and will offer you only what he can give your heart, which is life and life to the fullest. I want you to know how to truly love others in this life, not just in your family relationships, but in all of them. It starts with Christ. It starts with surrendering your heart to Jesus and believing that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Allowing him full coverage of your heart so you can learn and be led by him to love others is one of the best things you can do. And the cool thing is that you don't have to do it all on your own. God promises us that he can change our hearts over time. We learned this from Kyle's message on sanctification. It says in Ezekiel 36:25, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I will sprinkle clean water on you. I will cleanse you. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. This means and tells us that God is willing to do the work. All we have to do is just walk closely towards him and with him. Are you willing to do so? So I just want everyone to take a second now. It's just between you and Jesus. Close your eyes and just be with God. And if you're not a follower of Jesus right now and you really just desire to invite Jesus into your heart, to love your family, friends, and others like him with a self-sacrificing, abundant love that is full of life-giving relationships and not ones that lead to death, please raise your hand. I see those hands. You want to surrender your whole heart to Jesus so that you can move and love your friends, your family, and others well. All right, I just want to pray. Jesus, thank you so much that we get to come to you and surrender our hearts to you. I pray for anyone right now who is raising their hand that they would just know that you love them, that you see them, that you value them, God, and that you died on the cross for them. I thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that they, at this moment, would continue to walk with you faithfully, knowing that they would have abundant life in their relationships. We love you and we praise you. Amen. Okay, so I wanted to talk about the heart first, because now we can go into the other things. So we couldn't go through that before doing that part first. So if you rose your hand tonight, we want to pray for you and walk alongside you. Please make sure to let your life group leader know tonight about it in life groups. But let's go to point number two, which is your willingness to be a peacemaker and set apart. It says in Matthew 5:9 that blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And also in Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with everyone, as well as holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Let's talk a little bit about peacemaking. The definition of a peacemaker is, a peacemaker is one who actively initiates reconciliation, loves enemies, and prays for persecutors. It is distinguished from mere peacekeeping, which often avoids conflict by being proactive, sometimes uncomfortable action. The difference between keeping the peace versus making the peace is huge. It's really by just being an active person. And we get this from Christ himself, from Jesus. Jesus did not just keep the peace. He was a true maker of peace. Jesus came to create peace on earth for us by actively initiating reconciliation between us and God. Jesus came to earth and left the comfort of heaven and decided to enter into our broken discomfort and division in this world. And he also came to call out sin with truth and grace, which at times caused a lot of division amongst God's people, but ultimately led us to finding true peace. You might not seem like you're creating peace by disrupting patterns within your family, especially sinful patterns, but know that if you're faithfully choosing God's way, you might feel tension as he leads you to bring true light in darkness. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you are called to be an active participant in bringing peace through the power of the Holy Spirit. You are called to be on the team of reconciliation and loving and praying for those who hurt you. And you might be thinking, no, you don't get it, Bemi. I can't. You should have heard what my sister told me the other day, or my brother. But when we choose God's way, we can actually discover his peace and be peacemakers in any and all circumstances. This means with our family as well. We do not have to have it all together, and we get to be weak while our God is strong. So maybe instead of choosing a fight with your sibling and calling them hurtful words, we can lean on the Holy Spirit and ask for direction on how to best love them in that moment. Have conflict at home? Once again, we get to lean on the Spirit, pray and fast to see what to do next. Maybe a family member opens up about something that's been really bothering them. Listen to them, surround them with love, encouraging words, even God's word to fight back the negativity. And then we also get to receive wisdom and guidance from the Spirit and move in obedience to what the Lord says and not just our emotions. Second point, I'll read that verse one more time. In Hebrews 12:14, it says, pursue peace with everyone as well as holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. This is huge, guys. God also calls us to be set apart and holy. This includes with our families. God is calling us to live set apart. So I have questions again for you. Are you following along with everything your family's doing, whether it's good or bad? That sin pattern, oh, they just gossip. That's cool. I'll do that too. Oh, you know, like, that's just a family cycle. It's our tradition. It's our family culture. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal to God. It says here in Matthew 10:37-39, whoever loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not fit to be my disciple. And whoever comes to me must follow in my steps and be willing to share my cross and experience it as his own, or he is not worthy of me. This is huge. We have to get our priorities straight. It's always and should be God, and the way that we love the Lord should flow into how we love our family. It shouldn't be the opposite. God, family, and then everything else. Number two, are you willing to choose to be different in your family that may not know Christ so that they can see his light shine through you? I have encouragement for you. You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's from Matthew 5:13-16. You may be like, oh, I can't be a light in my family. No one in my family is a Christ follower like me. That is so nerve-wracking. But God, through his Spirit, wants to comfort you in knowing that you are the light of the world, that there is no reason to be feared because he will be with you to let your light shine before others so that they can see the Lord's love through you. Number three. Are you nervous and scared because you are a younger or maybe the oldest person in your family and you have a desire to speak up, but maybe you're nervous that you'll be shut down by those older than you or your elders or your parents? Once again, I want to encourage you. 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone belittle you because you are young. Instead, show the faithful, young and old, an example of how to live. Set the standard for how to talk act, love, and be faithful and pure. So I want to share a little story time about my older brother. He's here today. Hello. Hey, Babs. every single day, I don't think he knows this, but I would find my brother up early reading his word in the morning in our living room, dining room table. I was in El Roble, so I was a seventh grader, eighth grader, and I would wake up, see him, and I would just be so curious about why he was doing that, and I wanted to learn more. His simple act of obedience of just waking up and reading God's word and spending time with Jesus led me to want to do the same. And after when he went to APU, to college, I did the same thing, and it changed my life. And so, older siblings, you have a mission and an opportunity to help lead your younger siblings who are looking up to you to Christ. They look at every single action you're making, and you might think, it doesn't really matter what I'm doing. It does. And same with younger siblings. You can help lead your older siblings who may not know Jesus to Christ too. You may have a fear of being too young and overstepping, but believing in Jesus and believing that he wants to use you is so possible. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. Everyone in this room has influence. And your family is watching you and cares to some extent the things that you care about. Wouldn't you want to see everyone in your family come to know the Lord's love? And wouldn't you want to play an active part in that? And really, the most important reason why we're talking about this is that in that verse, it says, if we do not pursue peace or pursue holiness, no one will see the Lord. That should be a really heavy thing. People in your family will not see God if you do not pursue peace, be a peacemaker, and if you do not pursue holiness, set apart light and darkness. Your family won't see them. And that is a huge thing. And maybe you're like, I don't really care. Maybe you're apathetic to everything that I just mentioned. So maybe the prayer should be for you. And that's okay. We can be honest and open. It's a safe space. God, please make my heart sensitive to this truth. Number three, next fill-in is conflict, long-suffering, and picking up your cross. Waiting on God's redemptive hand within family can be hard. I'm still waiting on that right now. Conflict, hurt feelings, hardships, the list goes on and on, but I've seen the Lord move through his grace and his mercy. Things I never thought would be happening, I'm seeing in real time, and hearts are changing. This Christmas season, well, last Christmas season, was the hardest for my family. I honestly felt like I was Dr. Phil, mediating between debates and arguments between various family members, and I felt emotionally drained. A part of me was like, this is what I'm supposed to do. I love the Lord, yay. And another part of me was like, man, I'm so tired. I'm just a human being. I'm not a savior. It's not my responsibility to fix my family's problems. Regardless of what I did, I advised, it seemed like no one listened to me. I even shared my heart, scripture, prayed, and I felt like nothing was bearing fruit. Guys, that was 3 months ago. Today, one family member of mine is going to church consistently and for the first time for himself and no one else. Another has apologized fully for the very first time that when she hurt someone's feelings, she was able to communicate and move through forgiveness on that. Another had opened up honestly in how she was feeling, and others created healthy boundaries for their mental well-being. And the biggest one, some members of my family came together to agree to pray and resolve conflict kindly and clearly. These might all seem like small things, but over time, we'll show big changes. I guess with all that I'm saying is that it might be really, really hard for you and your family. I'm really sorry about that. But right now, we know that it's temporary and there's hope in Jesus. But I want to encourage you to not stop praying. Don't stop showing up. Please keep picking up your cross for them. Be Jesus to your family and don't give up on them. Serve them faithfully and love them simply just to love them. not for something in return. My mom always says sometimes it has to get really hard and really bad for things to get better. And I equate this to a really bad storm that we had the other day. And then after that happened, everything was clear. The air was like all filled with smog. It was nice. And I feel like that could be with our lives. Sometimes things just have to get like that, and God has to move through it for it to feel better and to feel like there's new ground laid down. And that's what my family needed. God knew what we needed, and it is still beyond not perfect, but things are changing slowly and surely. With every disruptive, with faith and surrender and leaning on the Lord within it, he shows us more and more of his goodness, grace throughout it. I have a scripture for this moment. It says, be humble, be gentle, be patient. Tolerate one another in an atmosphere thick with love. I just pray that over all of you when it comes to family, that you would tolerate them in an atmosphere thick with love. Every single family is imperfect. It doesn't matter how put together it might seem. God's grace and transformative power is needed within that. So I just want to encourage you to keep long suffering with them and wait on God's hand, redemptive hand within it. And our last point is lean on your church family. Your church family is always here for you. Some of us might have a really difficult time when it comes to family relationships because you're the only Christ follower in your home. And that could be incredibly isolating and lonely as you navigate that. I want to encourage you that the Lord sees you and has brought you this community to support you and walk with you alongside you in that hardship. Your faithfulness to the Lord is so much bigger than you. Think about it this way. Your yes to Jesus matters and will impact future generations of your family, and you get to change that trajectory. It could all start with you and your obedience to the Lord right now. That could lead to a whole family line, faithfully loving and serving the Lord. So if you're feeling weak, remember to lean on your church, lean on your family here for strength to get through the temptation of throwing in the towel of your faith. It will get hard, but take heart. There's nothing too hard for Jesus, our Savior. He will keep you steady, and your church family will support you in those times. So as I wrap up, I just want to say, your HSM family really wants to see true revival within your family relationships. We want to continue to encourage you to be a light to others in your family and to stay close to the church family so you can be replenished and keep serving your earthly family well. And be our last verse for tonight before I pray out. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. It's from 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And now pray us out into life groups. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much. We pause before you to just give you glory in this moment, God. We thank you for just everything that you're doing in this moment right now in our hearts. And Lord, I just pray for every student here in this room, leader, volunteer, who might be having hardship in family, God. I just pray that you would give them hope. You would encourage them with the word and that they would know that with you, they can persevere and they can believe in your hope for your redemptive plan for their family, God, that you're not done with their family. And I pray for every student who may be just feeling isolated or alone or might be the only Christ follower in their family, that they would be encouraged in knowing that we as an HSM family are here to support them in that. May generational lines change from this night, God. And may we love our families better through just your love that just overflows in us, Lord. We love you so much and we praise you. And it's all in your name. Amen.